Hello everyone, welcome to One Church Podcast. Stay tuned for our sermon of the week. Bye-bye. So today we keep in our first letter of John. So it's 1 John chapter 2. We're going to keep speaking about this letter and keeping in our series of messages. Walking in the light. Amen. I'm just going to pray for us and then we can read together. Jesus, we love you and we ask today, Holy Spirit, would you open our minds, open our eyes to understand the scriptures and to understand what you're doing and what you expect from us, Lord. We want to be faithful and loyal to you. We love you, Jesus. We ask you today, we don't want to be the same again. Change our lives forever in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So before we continue, I just want to remember ourselves some stuff that we learned last week. Is that okay? Okay, so the first thing I want to remember us is Jesus is God. Amen.
Yes.
Is everybody with me on that?
Yes.
Okay, so Jesus is God. He's divine and he incarnated. And there is no distinction between his person and his work. Thank you, man. So there's no distinction between his work and his person. Everything that Jesus does, it's actually everything that he is. And everything he is, he does. Amen. The teaching of the Apostle John is not new, but it's old and follows the teachings of the prophets and Christ himself. Amen. John's message is God is light. The purpose of the message, fellowship or communion. Fellowship is when together we enjoy the same intimacy that the Trinity lives in itself. My depth in God is measured by the depth, my depth in relationship with my brothers and sisters. Amen. So tell me how deep you are in people and I'll tell you how deep you are in God. Hallelujah. Okay. So... Did you open your Bible already? Yeah? So let us read now 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by these we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word is in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Amen. So the name of the message today is Your Sins Are Forgiven. So we're going to try to study the whole chapter, which is, it's a big chapter, but I think we're going to make it. Amen. So once again, John starts his teaching, calling the disciples or the people of this church, my little children. It's actually really deep because he doesn't say just children, but he says my little children and not just my children, but my little one. It's like, it's a very father-like. You know, he's really looking to this church as a father looked to his son. It's like, you are my little child. Actually, this children word in the Greek is actually child, my little child, like my little, like one. It's really like this paternal love that needs to actually make us aware, because we cannot leave church as family and we cannot leave church as a community without this brotherhood and also fatherhood love. We need to understand that the elders need to treat the youngest ones with the love of a father treats his son. And the youngs, they should look to the elders like someone look to his father or to his mom. Is that making sense? So we need this understanding of fatherhood and brotherhood amongst us. Also, we understand that sin in the lives of the believers should be an accident, not a habit. We understand that John is saying, like, hey, guys, understand what? Understand one thing. I am teaching that because I don't want you to sin. I'm teaching that so that you may not sin. That being said, I mean, I do believe, John is saying, I do believe that you guys can resist sin or can avoid sin for the most part of your life. It's possible to live a life like holy in terms of like I walk in holiness. But if anyone does sin, which means you're going to sin. So John is saying, I'm preaching those things because I want you to not sin, but you're going to sin. And if you remember, last week we spoke about that. John says, if you say that you do not sin, you are a liar. Because everyone does sin, which means that everyone needs to confess sin. If we don't have a life where we bring our difficulties and sins and struggles into light, we are making God a liar because we are saying that we do not sin. Come on, guys. So when you confess your sin, when you confess your weaknesses, you're just a normal one. You're just a normal Christian or a normal follower of Jesus. You know, you're not extraordinary. You're actually ordinary. That's what we should expect from one another. Even like for me as a pastor, I should and must confess my sins and confess my struggles to my friends and to the leadership of this local church, to the leadership of our global church and everything. Is that making sense? Okay, so sin in the lives of the believers should be an accident. We need to understand that John is not normalizing sin. He's not saying, you're going to sin always. No, he's saying, if you sin. And later on in the letter, we're going to understand that John actually says that those ones who walk in sin, they're not saved. They're not born again. Is that making sense? Okay, so John teaches to avoid sin, but he also teaches how to deal with sin if we do sin. Is that making sense? So we flee from sin, guys. We flee, like we just run away. That's it. Can I teach you something? If you know that you're weak in the area of your life, just run away. Just flee fast and confess your temptation, because it's way more easier to confess temptations than sin. By fleeing from sinful practice, however, he teaches us to confess them and in whom we should put our hope. So when John says, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So John is saying, if you sin, you have a lawyer, you have a friend. Actually, the word that he used in the Greek is paraklektos, which is the same word used for the Holy Spirit. So John is saying, if you sin, because you're going to sin, if you sin, you have a friend, you have a paraklektos, you have a lawyer, you have someone standing beside God the Father, interceding for you. He's there just talking with the Father about you. So John is actually saying, the gospel, God of light, do not approve your sin, but God of love is ready to claim you. John is actually saying, be holy, but in case of sin, we are ready for you. Something like that. The practice of confession is not what cleanses me, but rather the work of the Son on the cross. So the confession of my sin is actually believing that God can make me clean. So that's really deep, because isn't just coming to PJ and saying all my wrong deeds. You know what I mean? It's not a therapy, guys. You know, if we right now start to confess our sins here, I struggle with that. Yeah, I struggle with that. The difference between a community therapy and church is the power of the cross. Yes. You know what I mean? Of course, I'm not against therapy, okay? So, are you guys with me here? So when I confess my sins, I'm not hoping that the confession is going to make me clean. I'm actually confessing because I do believe on the work of the cross. I do believe that I have a lawyer. I have a friend. I have a savior, Jesus Christ the Son. Is that making sense? So Jesus Christ the righteous, John says, there's someone ready to help me. Are you guys alive today?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Probably I'm going to preach about 2 hours today. We need to do a break at some point. Okay. So are you guys happy still? Yeah. Okay. So John, he says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation. Okay. So repeat after me. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Okay. So John is saying, you can trust, you can rely on this guy. You can trust in your Savior, because your Savior is not just an ordinary guy. He's not just a hero. He's not just a good guy. He's the righteous one. He's the one that is actually holy. There's one reason why Jesus is standing next to the Father. It's because Jesus is equal to the Father. So John is like, do you remember that divine man? Do you remember that God man? So he is standing next to the Father, and he's talking with the Father about you and your sins. He's like, okay, Father, forgive them. Okay, Father, forgive them. Actually, some teachers and some pastors, they kind of teach that it's almost like the word parakletos was used because the Holy Spirit is our friend and the one that comforts us during our journey, and actually teaches the words and the truth of Jesus. But Jesus is the one who stands between us and the Father. So it's like almost the Holy Spirit is between us and Jesus, but Jesus is between us and the Father. Is that making sense? So in terms of like bringing our needs into the Father, Jesus is the one. John emphasizes not only humanity of Jesus, but the messianic part of Jesus. He says, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Okay. Is that making sense? And there's this word propitiation, which I just want to teach you really, really fast, but not in a shallow way. And then we can keep going. So one thing we need to actually put as a pattern. Okay? Are you guys with me? The Lord saves us by grace, by the power of His own work on the cross. Amen? I know that is really basic, but we need to understand that. The Lord saves us by grace, by the power of His own work on the cross. Hallelujah. Okay. So when we look to the propitiation, and I'm going to speak a lot about that. Propitiation is linked to the sacrifices of the Old Testament. Basically, really basically, they used to kill animals to clean their sins. So because God is holy, because God is light, because God is almighty, He hates sin. We need to understand that. God literally hates sin. And because God is so good, He hates what is evil. And sometimes we kind of think those things, they are like in a separate way. How can God be good and holy? Actually, the reason why God is good is because He's holy. And the reason why God is holy is because He's good. I always say the same thing. I'm going to say it again. Imagine that this phone right here, it's sin or bad stuff or evil. And that table right here, that pulpit right here, it's God Himself, good, holy. And then I come and put just one drop of sin amongst God. But God is so good, right? He's love. He's kind. And then He abides with sin. And He starts to abide with evil. So how can I call? How can I look at this God and say, "You're so holy"? I cannot, because He abides with sin. So, because God is good, He's actually holy. And because God is holy, He's actually good. Imagine on this way, God is so good that He created hell for those who do not love Him. It's a hard thing, right? So propitiation is basically making God's wrath satisfied. So when God looks at PJ or at me or at Nito, we are sinful people. We are sinners. And then God's wrath is upon me. Why? Because He's holy. So God needs to be satisfied in terms of His holiness, righteousness. He needs to clean that sin. But God loves Victor. God loves me in a way that I could not even love myself. So propitiation is basically, okay, bring me a goat. We're going to kill the goat because I want to keep Peter alive. But then comes Jesus, the Lamb of God. And John is saying, you can trust the Lamb of God. He is the propitiation for your sins and my sins. Basically, what Jesus has done is, He came as a goat or as a lamb. And instead of Peter, Jesus died. So Jesus isn't just the lawyer, but He is the righteous one, which means when He comes unto the Father with your sins, He does not say, yeah, no, you know, Father, So Ali said that thing, but he didn't mean that. No, Jesus said, yeah, I know him. He meant that. Yeah, he's guilty. And the father looks at Jesus and says, why, Jesus? But how can you protect them that way? Like, Father, I pay the price. Like, that's it. I'm not just only a lawyer. I'm the propitiation. Come on, guys. I'm the Lamb of God. It is always good to emphasize that it was not the cross that produced God's love, but God's love that produced the cross. God in the person of the Son is not only the propitiation or the propitiator, but also the propitiation itself. Jesus is not only the one that makes someone being clean or the one that killed the goat. Jesus is the goat himself. So when, how can we have our sin forgiven? We believe in ourselves. We believe in our works, in our talent, in our gifts. How can I be clean of my sins? I just confess him. That's biblical. You should. But there's something way deeper than that. I must rely on Jesus' sacrifice. I must rely on the grace of God. There's one thing that makes us really aware of ourselves. If we are full of self-love in a bad way, or if we love our reputation, if we love or works, or if we love the grace of God. This thing is basically, how much do you rely during your days on the grace of God, and how much you rely in yourself? One thing we need to understand is, like, basically, if everything in your life just turns off right now, you cannot preach, you cannot evangelize, you cannot work, you cannot, I don't know. Is everything all right with you, or you need to prove to yourself that you're capable of running your life? Is that making sense? Mm. So when John is actually saying to us, you can trust him. John is not like, hey, bro, I trust you that you're capable of having faith. Nah, John's saying, hey, just come to Jesus. He will do the rest. That's grace right here. Isaiah 53 verse 5. You don't need to read it. It's really famous. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. Was on him. Imagine that. I'm very like visual. Like, was on him. Like, whoa. And by his wounds, we are healed. Guys, it's like Jesus on the cross didn't die just because of natural stuff. Or, his lungs stopped like functioning. I mean, of course, but the weight of sin was upon him. The wrath of God. That's why Jesus, God, Father, why you forsake me? Because God was looking away because your sins and my sin were upon Jesus. Some teachers, they say the Trinity experienced separation for a minute. In that moment when Jesus was like being ripped out of the Father. You're sinful now. I'm telling you, the worst pain wasn't the cross for Jesus. The worst pain was Jesus looking at his Father, the one that loves him since ever to forever. God is the community of God, enjoying himself since everlasting to everlasting. In that minute, God separated from the Son. And now we think together. The propitiation of Jesus is so unique and holy that in the same moment when Jesus was actually manifesting God's wrath, he was actually manifesting God's love at the same time. When Jesus was there dying on the cross, he was satisfying God's wrath and releasing God's love. Come on, guys. Jonathan Edwards used to say, in Jesus Christ, infinite justice and infinite grace are found. Come on, man. The person of Jesus is just a well of like revelation. Psalms 51, verse 12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit. Come on, guys. How can we be clean of our sin? How can we live a holy life? We need to rely on the Son. Imagine that. It's really important. It's really important because there's some stuff that in this like modern church culture we call emotional struggles. But it's actually sin. It's a sin. Envy is envy. Inveja, I forgot now. Yeah, envy is a sin. I don't know, like, whatever. Being tired all the time, it's a sin. Laziness. Oh, I need to be busy. That's a sin. You know, every single Saturday, the people of God should rest. And in every 7 weeks, they should rest again. And every 7 months, rest again. Every 7 years, rest again. We do not rest. And then we do therapy. Again, I'm not against therapy. So in modern church, we just call sin like when it's a sexual abuse or stole money from the church or killed someone. But in the days of John Wesley in this city, even drinking tea was a sin. Of course, we drink tea. I mean coffee, right? Because John Wesley used to think that tea was accelerating you too much, and then you're not aware of yourself. You know, for the priests to walk into the holy place, they used to iron this the clothes because could not have any shadow. Because God is light. So in the modern church, we call emotional struggling what is actually sin. Of course, there's emotional struggling. Of course, we need to be aware of that and treat that and open ourselves to therapy if it's necessary or something like that. Even medicine. I mean, it's all right. If you broke your knee, you need a doctor. If you broke your head, you need a doctor as well. But we must call sin what is sin. Where does come from or emotions? They come from a holy place or a evil place or darkness place. Because if they do not come from God and from the Word of God, we should and we must call it sin. Yes. But thank God, our sins are forgiven. Thank God we have Jesus. Thank God we have the church. Thank God we have one another, right? And I just want to be really straight about sin, because sometimes when we're preaching about those things, normally the old Christians, they are like, yeah, yeah, oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah. And the guy that just killed someone is like, yes, Jesus. I'm telling you, it's really easy to know whom is actually experiencing a deep life of prayer. Because the deep life of prayer doesn't create in you the capability of like saying things in a posh way, in an intellectual way. Praying doesn't mean that you're gonna, I don't know, be powerful. According to Charles Finney, prayer, like, you know someone who does not pray when talks too much. Because prayer and intimacy with God will create in us a humble, like, it's a humbleness. Like, I met God, man. I'm not holy. I know that you think I am, but I'm not. You know, one thing that can actually kill the awareness of holiness amongst us, when I compare myself to PJ, that's, I mean, come on. I should not compare myself to one of you or you to me. We should compare ourselves to Jesus. Because when I compare myself to Julia, I'm going to win, she's going to win, I'm going to win, she's going to win. And that's an easy discipleship. It's so easy. And there's a problem on that. Because one day, and I hope that they will come soon, one day you're going to be so much better than me in everything. And on that day, you're going to look at me and say, I don't need you anymore. That's not church. That's not community. That's not fellowship. We're not here because we need each other only. We are here because we love each other. Are you with me? Yes. So how can I actually experience this awareness of light? Like, I need light. I need holiness. When me and PJ, we're not looking like comparing like ourselves. We are looking at Jesus. It's like Peter, John, and James. They're like, yeah, like James and John, like, I know that we are better than Peter in that thing, but look at Jesus, bro. Like, come on. Who can follow that guy? I'm telling you, it's way, you know, that's sometimes we feel so much more joy walking with Satan than Jesus. Of course, you're so much better than Satan, man. It's a really tricky thing to walk with someone that challenges you every time, every day, all the day long. Like, you walk with Jesus and like someone does something to you and you're ready to like fight and just like, yeah, cool guy, cool, yeah, yeah. Peace. It's calm. Okay. Let's keep reading. Are you guys happy?
Yeah.
Verse 3. And by these we know that we have come to know him. If we keep his words or commandments, let's stop right here and go to verse 6. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Amen. The light of God in us, the love of God in us, salvation, anointing, Everything, it's so measured by, do you obey? Easy question. It's like that. That's John looking at his church, actually, his little children. He look at them and say, okay, you pray in tongues? Yeah. You heal people? Yeah. You have like a famous Instagram? Good. Do you sing songs? Amazing. You're such a good child. Do you obey? Do you walk in the law? Do you walk in the word of God? Come on, guys. This is so strong, honestly. It is possible because we remember Jesus saying, who are you? I don't know you. Who are you? Oh, you say that you healed in my name, like by my name? Like, who are you? I don't know you. So it is possible to experience power of God, a life of church, Christian, whatever, and it's possible to do not obey him and walk in his words. It is possible. Actually, that was the heresy, like the major heresy of the Gnostic people. They were like, your life and your teachings, they can walk in a separate way. It's okay because it's spiritual. It's something immaterial. Like, it's okay. Like, you can sin and preach. Come on, guys. I know it's a hard one. John dismisses the possibility of a faith full of good words and shallow demonstration of obedience. It's one thing that I used to preach a lot. If your life does not prove or like, I don't know, I'm translating right now. So if your life do not prove your anointing or something like that, if your life does not stand in the same level at that you're anointing, we don't need your anointing. Because the life is so much like important than just the anointing. I'm telling you, you can get anointing alone. You cannot get life, knowledge, holiness, understanding. You can get gifts of God alone. You cannot get knowledge of God. Is that making sense? Yes. The transformation produced by the Spirit and the work of Christ should generate in us a deep love for the Lord's commandments. Obedience goes hand in hand with faith. There's this sentence, there's this quote of Bonhoeffer that I just completely love it. And one thing I want to say really fast, I know that Bonhoeffer tried to kill Hitler. If you don't know that, I know. But, I mean, aside from that, I mean, it's okay. I forgive him, but his teaching is amazing. I mean, I'm not Nazi, that's all right. So only the one who believes is obedient. And only the obedient believes. I'm going to say it again. Only the one who believes is obedient. And only the obedient believes. Which means, without faith, you do not obey. But without obedience, you don't have faith. So it's basically, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Okay, Jesus commands you. Jesus said to you, Jesus told you to go. But I don't know. So you do not believe. That's it. That's easy. And then you say, I don't know if I have faith, but I'm obeying everything. You have faith. You know what I mean? I'm like a quick testimony for you. Like in my life, I'm very sensitive to the Spirit, but not like some of my friends. So Some of my friends, they look at you, it's almost like they can read your whole soul, like, and I love it. It's amazing, but I'm not like that. So every time that I went to preach on the streets, I'm never like, God spoke to me. And then I go, yay, I know your name. Your name is Paulo Jr., right? And I'm like, yeah, boom, 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 boom. No, I'm not like that. I'm always like, I don't know, I have to talk with that guy. And then I'm like, hey, man, what is your name? And then the guy, yeah, yeah, my name is PJ. I'm like, yeah, you know. And I'm like, okay, what do I do now? What do I do now? Like, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm from Brazil. Yes. Obedience. I didn't know what I need to do here in London. I was just obeying. And there's some answers that I don't have. Honestly, like if you ask me too much, I'm going to say, I don't know. Is that making sense? So Bonhoeffer said, the one who believes is obedient. And only the obedient believes. Scripture rejects the proposal of merely rational and or intellectualized faith. Which means, isn't just like, I do believe, I do understand. Yeah, God, your word is amazing. Now, like, John is really straight away. Like, actually, I always say that. Like, those three guys, John, Peter, John, and James, like, even though we don't have, like, many written from James and actually Peter as well, but they're so straight. Like, they boom! Like, that's it. There's no like that's it. Like, and James, the brother of Jesus as well. It's like the letter of James is like, okay, you say that you believe in Jesus. Do you give your money to people? That's it. That's it. Like, I love it. It's so good. It's so practical, honestly. To know in the scriptures never means an intellectual, theoretical knowledge only, but an experimental knowledge of the heart. What John is saying is that no knowledge is true if it's not transformative, which means it's taste and see how good the Lord is. Those who keep the word are perfected in love. Let us read it again. And the truth is not in him, but whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. Guys, how can I be perfected in the Lord? How can the love of God be perfected in me? Obey. Walk in the word of God. But Ale, if everything goes wrong, doesn't matter, you're going to learn. So God isn't saying, obey me and everything's going to be all right. God is saying, obey me and be perfected in love. Which means, if you go and everything goes wrong, perfected in love. That's it. Come on, guys. It's hard, but it's so powerful. It's so powerful. Our faith is not merely sentimental, but requires moral fidelity. John is saying, hey, if you, like later on, he's going to say, if you hate your brother, you hate God. That's it. No more. Say no more. If you hate your brother, you do not love God. If you do not walk in my words, you do not love me. But that's the thing. That's the thing. Because we are not holy because we do things. We are not loved because we do things. We are just saved by grace. It's everything like, boom, that's it. It's yours. Okay. What do you expect from me? Just walk on it. That's it. Just walk on it. That's it. That's why John later on is going to say, I just want to remember you guys that he first loved us, okay? Just want to remember you. Because this kind of message can kind of create in us like this feeling of, I need to do to be loved. I need to do to be accepted. Like, no. You need just to walk because it was given to you. By these we know that we are in him. So how can I know that my life is in him if I walk in the word of God, if I'm obedient? He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So right here, I want to quickly speak about holiness and like what is walking holiness. Because sometimes we think that, are you guys with me? Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. Sometimes we think, how can I be holy? Okay, I'm forgiven, and then I confess my sins, and then I stop sinning. That's not holiness. Like, according to the scriptures, those who say they abide in him ought walk as he walked. In terms of holiness isn't stop sinning. Holiness is walking in holiness. Is that making sense?
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, I watch bad videos on internet, right? Okay, so I break all my phones, my MacBook, cut the internet, and then I'm holy. Are you? What is the difference between the goat of the Old Testament and the Lamb of God? Like the goat of the Old Testament could not, as Hebrews says, perfect me. I was clean on like outside, like, you know what I mean? I was just like, it's like there's a bit of sin here, this tattoo right here, you know, that's a sin. So I clean it, that's it. And then next week I need to do it again because I'm dirty again. But the Lamb of God, he sets me free from my sin. I'm born again. I'm perfected in inside. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to sin. But that means that I can overcome sin. Is that making sense?
Yes.
So holiness or walking like Jesus isn't avoiding sin. I'm not like, oh, sin, go away. Oh, sin, go away. No. It's like, I hate it. And I'm walking like Jesus. So what is to have the sexual area of my life holy isn't just avoiding like pornography. No. It's walking as Jesus would walk in this area. Is that making sense? Are you guys happy?
Yes.
Okay. So let us read now John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 7. Are you guys with me? Yeah?
Yes.
Beloved, say with me, beloved.
Beloved G.
I'm writing you no new commandment. Isn't a new thing, guys. I love it. You know, nowadays, like to be an apostolic church means to be like full of innovation. That's not apostolic. Apostolic is like there's nothing new. I'm doing the same stuff. But an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Amen. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Oh my gosh, man. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light. And in him there is no cause of stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going. But the darkness has blinded his eyes. First of all, again, there's no innovation in the apostolic message. It remains the same. I love it. I love it because, like, it's so common, it's so normal to see people trying to innovate the gospel. Like we should adapt it. We should, I don't know, evolve it. No, it's the same message. The darkness is going away because the gospel is shining, John is saying. And final thing from these verses, love is the evidence that we are in light. Resentment provides space for darkness and does not resemble the children of light. Resentment. Resentment is a sin, you know. Resentment is a sin. It's a tricky thing, honestly. To love Jesus is hard. But it's so good. Amen. So, I'm going to keep reading because otherwise it's too long. Amen. So, we can go now to verse 12. I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. Oh, thank you, Jesus. For his name's sake. Let us stop right here. Oh, my God, man. My sins are forgiven for his name's sake. There's no one that loves God more than God himself. There's no better reason for missions than God. I'm telling you, if you want to preach the gospel because you love people, you're going to fail. Because that's not the main reason why God himself does it. God himself saves you because he loves himself. Is God selfish? He cannot be. It's just because who God's going to love? I mean, normally you adore something greater than you. I mean, I do not worship my dog. It's the same thing. Like, do you expect God to worship you? You are a dog, bro. I'm just joking, isn't it? So, for his name's sake, I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. So these verses, they are almost like a song or a psalm of John or a prayer. Just one quick note. Isn't like agreed amongst every teacher, what does mean those like father, young man, children? Because that can mean like different levels of Christianity life in the church. Like, oh, the ones that are like old Christian, the ones that are born again now, the ones that are like learning things. But the thing is, children or child was never used in this letter to to relate to that, like to the level of like faith you live in right now. And there's the other vision, which means like literally the age of people. So I like, oh, the fathers, like literally fathers, sons, young men, things like that. And both of those visions, they have like some problems. So we agree. I mean, I do believe in a personal way that we just should accept the truth, which is universal. I'm forgiven. I overcome sin and I receive all those things. So Hernandez, which is like a pastor that I love in Brazil, he says, we are of the opinion that it's not John's purpose to make these distinctions in the text at hand. Perhaps he's even highlighting two groups, the young men and the fathers. That is those who are living in the heat of the spiritual battle and those who are more experienced. Is that making sense? So once again, John reminds us, we are forgiven, accepted into the family of God. But there's one thing, I mean, apart from all those things, I just love it. Because he says, I'm writing to you, young men, because you overcome the evil one. So it's like basically speaking, come on, who fights the battle? For whom it's harder than like the young man or the young people to fight against sin? Honestly, it's the hardest part of your life. And it's almost like John as a father looking to the young people and say, I know it's hard, but because of Jesus, you overcome it. You overcame the evil one. Is that making sense? And then children, because you know the father. I mean, maybe I'm stepping a bit like aside or out of the scriptures, but I need to tell you one thing that I always think about when I read it. I need to teach my children who is the real father. I write to you children or kids in our church. Who is the father? And I write to you fathers and moms because you know him from the beginning. It's like you guys that are older and know more, I write to you as well. Like keep your faith in the same stuff that you heard in the beginning. Is that making sense? Okay, and then he keeps going. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, it's not from the Father, but it's from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desire. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Hallelujah. The word must remain in us in order to overcome the evil one. Hallelujah. One thing is really strong here. The desires of the flesh and the desires of eyes and pride of life. So if we have those things, the Father loves isn't being perfected in us. And then we keep going. Verse 18. We're coming to an end, okay? Come on, guys. Be strong, full of energy. 18. Children, again. Okay, help me. Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard, that Antichrist is coming. Suddenly, John is talking about the future. Boom. And then suddenly he becomes all like prophetic. Suddenly John from Revelation pops up. Suddenly John, that studied with Jesse eschatology, emerges. Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard, that Antichrist is coming. So now, say with me, so now. So the Antichrist is coming, but so now, many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they are not of us. But you have been anointed. Let us stop right here. Okay. So who are the Antichrists? If you remember the first chapter, are the false teachers, the false prophets. So John is saying, do you remember those guys that are teaching you fake doctrine? They are being led by the spirit of the Antichrist. Bro, one thing I love about the apostles, they are so rude. I just love it. It's like, I'm not gonna keep my tongue in my mouth, you know? I'm gonna say to you straight in your face, you know what is? Like when you teach fake doctrine, you are being led by the Antichrist spirit. By the spirit of this era. This is so honest. This is so powerful. Because the false teaching lead us to a false life, to a false faith. So everything that emerges from this false doctrine is actually what the spirit of Antichrist is desiring for you. Which means if we separate our lives, like there is this spiritual life, there is church, there is my work, there is my personal whatever, and I want to be a bodybuilder, and then I want to play football. And then if you do that, you're following the Gnostic way of seeing things. And the thing is, you're going to have a holy church life, holy spiritual life, and a full of evil rest of it. And that's exactly what the spirit of this era wants for us. What the spirit of this era wants for us, it's for you to desire the life of this world. What the spirit of this era wants for us is like, please, please, please live your life for a better house. Please do it. And then we think, oh, so I should give everything away then. I should be poor. But the scriptures are like the scriptures on when God called Abraham, David, Solomon, God said, I'm gonna make you rich, bro. You're gonna be rich. So it isn't about like giving everything away. It's about like when money and finances and like provision, they come into my life, they have just one purpose. Giving glory to Him. Like I want to make sure that you're worthy, Lord. That you worship. Is that making sense?
Yes.
One thing is really like crazy to think as well. False doctrine doesn't come from like far away. Comes from the church. Comes from inside of the church. Comes from here. You know, the fountain of fake teachings is the church itself, which is crazy. You know what is it? What is? There's this temptation in us to always preach new thing or to always satisfy people's need. I'm going to confess you a temptation that I have. Are you ready to forgive me? You can do like the prayer, the official one. So, as a pastor and as a leader, if you are a leader or have been in one day, you understand what I'm trying to say. If you are a father and mom, you're going to understand what I'm saying. there's this temptation of like bending the message or like adapting the message because you know the people. And when I look at you and I know you guys, I know your issues. I know what you like, you're struggling with. So then the temptation is I want to preach things to solve you, to help you to solve your problems. And that is one step that we do, and it's done because we are ready for heresies now. Because we are trying to like, you know what I mean? Adapt the message. So when we think about like, for example, Brazil or North America, we have another problem there, which is we have conference every single weekend. So every day, every weekend, every month, we need a new revelation. We need a new message. We need a new thing. That's a fountain of heresy. That's why John is saying, stay in the same thing that you heard in the beginning. Stay in the same thing. Stay in the same thing. Stay in the same thing. But there will be false doctrine. And I always remember 1 Corinthians 11 when Paul says, it's actually good to have this division amongst you, Paul said. It's actually good because that way we're going to see who are the like the real ones. So my way of seeing it is actually that God is so good and sovereign that he allows fake doctrine amongst us to refine us, to purify us. He refines. I want to be consumed. So, but then there's this big problem. Let us keep reading. Sorry. But you have been anointed by the Holy One. Hallelujah. And you all have knowledge. Come on, man. If you receive the Holy Spirit, you have knowledge. And you say, but Ali, I do not know everything. No. But you know God. You can know Him. You can access Him. You can like be with Him. I write to you not because you do not know the truth. Look. I love it. John is not evangelizing. We need to change our minds. What is that? But I mean, that's another word. But John is like, I'm actually writing those things because I know that you guys are disciples. So imagine that you have a church. You John himself, and you like, oh man, you're going to write Revelation, and then you write a letter for your sons and daughters, and you write, remember that you saved by grace. Come on, man, you can write about the seals, you can write about the, like, I don't know, the throne of God. I mean, come on, you John. No, I want to remember you guys. You saved by the grace, you have a friend, like, beside God, He's Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Walk in the light. Confess your sins. I write to you not because you don't know the truth, but because you know it. Because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist. He who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Wow, let us stop right here. Like the ultimate thing that the spirit of this era wants to do with us. You know what is it? It's to deny Christ. And I'm telling you, everybody likes Jesus. Everybody like likes the idea of Jesus. There's this Jew guy. Oh man, that is a life, right? Okay. So this Jew guy, oh, he suffers a lot. Oh man, the Jew, oh man, I love Jesus. He's so full of love. Oh, he loved the women. Oh, he's the first one that gave the women voice. Yeah, yeah. Come on, man. How stupid it is. Like, honestly. Jesus follows the prophets. Jesus followed the law. Do you think he was the first one? And then we love Jesus because the idea of Jesus, like this man. But then it comes to Christ, the Messiah. It's like, it's looking at the world and looking at us as Brazilians say, you know what? God isn't Brazilian. He's Jewish. Really? He doesn't play football? When it comes to Christ, like the King of all things, the one that will like reign over Jerusalem, boom, that's the point. That's the point where we're like, nah, come on, man. Are you saying that I need to surrender my life to this guy? I thought he was just love. So the Antichrist, so the teaching of the Gnostic guys, denies the incarnation. Do you remember that? Because of that, denies Christ himself. And because God did not incarnate, Jesus is not coming back again. So the fake heresy or the fake teaching was like, he's not the Son of God. And because of that, he's not the Messiah. And because of that, you're not saved by him. And because of that, he's not returning. And because of that, he's not the King. And it's so like we do not realize that it's happening in our lives because we just stop living for the glory of God and like, yeah, what are you doing? Oh, so you're thinking about moving to Spain? Yeah, why? Oh, it's so much better there. Antichrist. Honestly, it's fun, but it is. It is. If the purpose of our decisions are make my life better, I mean, honestly, guys, the light of God doesn't abide in us. It is hard, but it's the truth. You know, I always say that to you, and I'm going to say it again. The reason why I'm here isn't because of you. The reason why I live in London is because of God. Why do you live in London? Why do you live in your house? Why do you work where you work? Why do you do the things you do? Are we being led by the spirit of this era? How can we find joy in God when we live in by the spirit of this era? So there's a really eschatological like thing that we could really deep and dive in this verse, but today I'm not going to do it because we don't have time. But obviously the Apostle John is not referring to the Antichrist, the one that will come, the man of lawlessness, like the son of destruction that the Bible calls. But there's the spirit of the evil one or the spirit of this era that is actually like leading those guys. False teachings, they arise among us. It is important to know that the false teachers, according to John and the scriptures, are not only those who teach wrong doctrines. But in fact, those who bear marks of a life in sin. So they sometimes, like the worst kind of fake teachers, are the ones that teach truth. The most dangerous ones are the ones that have a good message, man. I'm telling you. First of all, where does come Allah's authority by grace. Second of all, where does come Allah's authority? Because He has people that can like tell you, we believe in Him. And maybe third, fourth, he has an anointing. He preaches well. When he prays, people fall in the spirit. But like the character, the life should be in first. Of course, I do not preach about things that leave. But my life bears fruit of like I'm holy. Like I follow Jesus. Because if I preach everything that I leave, I'm gonna preach just a little thing. It's such a hypocrisy. Is that the one? Yeah. To say, yeah, but they don't leave it. Do you? I mean, if we preach only what we leave, honestly, I don't know what should I preach. It's just such a small part. But that doesn't mean that we should not have some kind of pattern. Like, who should we believe? Who should we follow? So Paul teaches us in his letter to Timothy, like, should be a husband of one wife, not given to wine, not given to, like, whatever. Solid in the scriptures, holy. Is that making sense? So John walks in the same, like, way of seeing things. Those guys, they were not just false teachers because of the teaching, but because of the life. And John declares several times in his letter, whoever does not obey my commandments does not love me. So that's the pattern right here. Do you obey? Do you aim to obey? Are you willing to obey? Are you happy?
Yes.
True believers have two clear marks, anointing and knowledge. And then we're going to like keep reading to the end. But then I love it. I just love because John is like, okay, the spirit of Antichrist is already like amongst us and it's teaching bad stuff. But you, say after me, me. Yes. Me. Thank you, PJ. We have, guys, the spirit of God. We have the anointing. Come on. We have it. I love because John is so solid in the doctrine, but he loves like way of living. The life in the spirit, he's like, yeah, do you remember the spirit of Antichrist? Like, boom, prophetic, boom, yeah, crazy, mystic. And suddenly, like, do you need the anointing? You need the anointing, man. Like, there's no holiness without the spirit. There's no way of, like, living a life where you're free from the fake or false teachings without the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God, or the anointing of God and the knowledge of God protect us. They are not just a way to walk in or a path to walk in, but they are actually protection from sin. Is that making sense? But the anointing that you receive from Him abides in you. And you have no need that no one should teach you. So John is saying, hey, of course, you should listen to... I mean, John is teaching them. But John is arguing against like those guys, those fake teachers. Like, you don't need those guys to teach you, man. You receive the Holy Spirit and the knowledge of God. There's one thing really important right here, guys. I want to tell you. If you keep looking around for a bunch of teachings everywhere on the internet, you're gonna be deceived. You should be faithful to what are you receiving right here in this house, in this church, because you are here. If we do not belong in one thing, we're gonna be like deceived. At some point, you're gonna be deceived. And John is saying, hey, you receive something from us, from the apostles, from the guys that started everything. You don't need anything else. You don't need to keep like pursuing other teachers. But as his anointing teaches you about everything, and it's true, and it's no lie. Just as it has taught us, abide in him. And now, little children, oh, sorry, it's like 27 to 29. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. Wow. Meu Deus. Suddenly, John like comes like revelation again. Boom! It's so powerful because John, 1 John chapter 3, he's going to start, you are sons and daughters of God. So it's like this tension, like, you were so loved. He's so holy. You are so loved. He's so holy. You first loved, but he's coming. He's coming, man. You don't want to shrink in shame, right? The anointing, the Spirit of God is the protection and guidance we need. We need the life of the Spirit. I love it. I love how John is like emphasizing the church need the Spirit. The church need the Spirit. The church need the Spirit. Once again, John devises as a father in the light of the day of the Lord, that his children in the faith walk in a way that gives God glory. To remain in Christ and sound doctrine, through of life in the Spirit, so that we may be found faithful. So there's one thing that we need always to remember ourselves. And I love that John is doing that for us. The day of the Lord is coming. And we don't need to be afraid of it. We are loved. We are saved. But he's coming. And we don't want to shrink in shame. We don't want to present ourselves as one of those that follows the doctrine of Antichrist. It's a deep thing, honestly, guys. You know, that following the Antichrist isn't just, oh, I'm going to have this tattoo on my front head with like a small devil right here. And then I'm like, and then the Christians or the people of God, they're going to have like a small cross in the front head. That's all like YouTube like videos, guys. That's not the Bible. The Bible, I mean, there's a mark, but the thing is, like, we could be living right now as an Antichrist people and we don't know, honestly. But there's a good news. Hey, guys, your sins are forgiven. It's a good news. So today I want to end or finish this moment. I want to pray and we pray together for the Holy Spirit come and baptize us. But first of all, I really want us to ask for forgiveness. Like to actually come before God as a humble people, aware that I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. You know, and if you have to forgive someone or like ask for forgiveness, you could do it. You can do it right now. So we're going to worship and we're going to have this time of like just prayer. We had leadership time last Tuesday and I was saying, guys, I struggle with a lot of things. Bruno always say that you're too intense, like you're too fast sometimes and you should be like relax, let us follow you, let us like walk with you. And I'll always say that. I'm very insecure as a leader. Like, I lead like 4 or 5 church now, and I'm really insecure. Every time that we have like elders gathering or something like that, I'm always like, guys, can I say it? Can I say that? I'm always so insecure. So I struggle with a lot of things. And those are strugglings, but they are sin as well. You know what I mean? It's a sin. It's a sin because I'm taking for granted, well, like the sacrifice of Jesus. I'm taking like, oh, God, I know that you love me, but I'm insecure. Like, your love isn't enough for me. You know? So you're not alone. Like, you're not alone in terms of like, oh, you have struggles and that's it. I'm going to keep quiet. Like, if you do it, you're going to keep sick. Like, we need to confess our sins. And I always say that. I mean, sometimes, like, in the past, I mean, like now, we live stream and we're going to release that on YouTube. And I'm, like holding myself to not confess more things here. Because I've done that many times. And because I have this revelation in my life, like, I don't care who's listening to my sin. I just want to be free of it. I mean, that's it. That's it. So there's the difference between someone who actually experienced repentance and the one who is like just regretted. Is in English like a difference as well? Like regretted and repentance. Okay. So regretted is like, yeah, I should, yeah, I mean, I could have done different, yeah, no, but repentance is like, I hate it, like, I don't want it, and I'm like, I completely changed the way I walk. So repentance, when someone is actually experienced repentance, is like, I don't care who's listening. I mean, like, imagine, I don't know, we have someone that abused someone. And then you think, oh, but don't share that a lot. Because poor guy. Is it? I mean, if you want to be clean, you should be the one that tells everybody how dirty you are. You know what I mean? Of course, like, as leaders, we protect and everything. But like, if I was the person doing something like that, and I've been in places like sin. Like the day where when I fell with my girlfriend back in the day, Juju is right here. I confessed my sin in front of the whole church, literally. They made a circle. I was one of the worship leaders. Some of them, they don't talk to me. They don't, like, we don't have a relationship to this day. So, that's it. Walking in the light. It's a, we should do it. We must. We must, because then we're free, man. We're just free. Like, those one who the sun sets free, they are free indeed. You know, like, they're free indeed. It's a freedom, like, it's a freedom of not loving your reputation. Like, when I was moving to the UK, I was like, God, Brazil's gonna forsake me. They're gonna, oh man. All this ministry that I built, Lord, my influence, everything. I didn't know that was so alive inside of me. Honestly, I didn't know. I didn't know that I cared so much about how Brazil is going to think about me. But when I was moving, I was like, man, I care so much. I care so much about what people think about me. And I was like, God, I need to be clean. I need to be clean. So let us just take a moment of in prayer together. If you want to pray with someone, you can do it. If you want to confess a sin to someone, you can do it. But let us just pray. Let us just like worship Jesus. And yeah. So Holy Spirit, I ask you the one.